If you will, just keep your heads bowed and we'll pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for the blessing it is to live in this country and be able to remember to look back when evil was defeated over and over again, time and time again. And Lord, just help us not to take for granted everything that we were able to do and can do in this country that others can't just because of where they live and the type of government that's over them and the heavy hand that's on them. And we thank all of our veterans who, past and present, future, some that sacrificed the ultimate and gave their life so we could sit in here today, frankly, and do what we do and talk about Jesus and get closer to Jesus and learn about Jesus and not have to worry about anybody coming in and putting a stop to it abruptly. Father, my family was blessed to go to Cuba, and we've seen that. We've seen what that looks like and feels like, and it's not good. But we just lift up our veterans today to you. We thank you so much for an awesome day one of baseball camp, and look forward to this afternoon when the kids get to get on that ball field and have some fun and make some memories. And we just pray blessings on you, Lord. We thank you so much. Just for this opportunity today. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Rowdy, thank you. That was awesome. Very cool. Multi-talented, never smart enough to be a pitcher, but multi-talented. Well, if you helped with baseball camp yesterday, if you prayed for us, if you baked a goodie, if you signed people in, if you went to pick up pizza, if you were on the field, if you were helping a kid find the bathroom, stand up. Por favor. That's pretty cool. Here's Dusty in the background. Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's a team effort, you know. We can't do it. And I tell you what, there wasn't a crumb of food that was left. It vanished. It was gone. So that was very good stuff. We have some very cool stuff in the silent auction, too, this year. So if you're there today, check it out. Jaden Deemer has done a piece of artwork that was somewhere, two pieces of artwork that will be out there. She's a very talented artist, and she wanted to help out in her way and put something in the silent auction this year, and just awesome stuff. So check that out. And then here's this is a keepsake box that Jerry Tobe put together in like 35 minutes. And this thing is awesome. Jerry is a veteran of the U.S. Army, and he does all kinds of stuff here. It's a keepsake box. It's just, so check it out. I mean, the value of this thing, I don't know, a couple hundred dollars probably if you go to a store. But he was generous enough to donate it to us, and it's in the silent auction. So right now, it's open for bidding. So we'll have that out there today as well. Anything else I'm missing? Just little tidbits? Yeah, come and cheer the kids on today. Today's the day that we're going to get them out on the field and have them do their thing. And you know, they hear the name announced over the speaker, and it's just, man, it's a ton of fun. So all right, without further ado, you know, in baseball, the players have walk-up songs, right? The batters and the pitchers, when they come in, they play Wild Thing or whatever it is, and they come in and gets them pumped up and fired up and ready to go, and just gets them in that mindset going to the batter's box and gets them into the routine. You know, you see the guys do the same thing. They dig a hole, they adjust their gloves, they back out, they adjust other things, get back in there and do their thing, right? So we thought it was appropriate, baseball camp weekend, we've been doing this for a couple of years, to have walk-up songs for our coaches that are coming up here and just sharing a little bit of their life story. And you know there are going to be some laughs. Hopefully we'll learn something about Jesus along the way too. So this first guy found out that we roll with a lot of the same people, but we never met each other until this week. We met at Dunkin' Donuts on Highway 17, and he has done some personal training for the homeschool high school football team. His pastor is Christopher Hannon. Lexi is very good friends with his daughter, and the Hannons are great people. And Big Mike was saying, this guy. I'm like, yep, know him. He's like, man, we roll with the same crowd. So without further ado, Big Mike Watson.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way to dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king of the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks, taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley-oop. I like the pick and roll. I like the give and go.
Take a seat.
Basketball, okay. Mr. Kirch's flow.
Huh? You got it, right? Right? Yeah. There you are, look at that. Proof that you play basketball. Number 14 right there, going up high. And yeah, Mike Watson, Power and Faith Fitness. Like it so much, you can play it twice. Power and Faith Fitness is what he does. He's a personal fitness trainer, mobile fitness trainer. He'll come to you. He's got, check it out. You gonna be out there today?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know if you gotta bring the truck and everything,
no,
but okay, no, not bring the truck, but man, that thing was awesome. He's got everything in the truck. It's you train people 12 years old and up?
Yes.
Yeah, so he works at Cintas. Cool thing is, I had partnered him with James Barnes yesterday to work the speed and agility in the strength station, not knowing that they knew each other from James's time at Cintas years ago. So that's just cool how God weaves people together, you know what I mean? And all the people we know in common, and you know, and you're short, and you know, everything. So there's a great picture on Facebook. If you like, look for it, it's worth it. It's Stephanie and Terry trying to jump up to be as tall as Mike, and he's just like, whatever. But I will say this, Stephanie, Terry outjumped you in one of the pictures. Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. So anyway, Mike, thank you, man, bless you. All right, this next fella, his wife, Amber Lynn, came out to our camp last year. She had just rolled into town, really, with WJCL, doing the weekend sports, and she came out to cover the camp, and I took a picture of her interviewing one of the kids, and I found her like a lot of people do. We stalked people on social media, and I found you on Instagram, I think, and I sent it, and then I was looking at your page, and I saw this dude in a Yankees uniform, and of course, I'm like, huh, who's that? And it was her fiancé at the time. They got married last December the 6th, 2nd? 2nd, okay, there you go. And it's been the year of the carols. It's been a crazy ride. Cody and I connected. He came out and worked out with our homeschool baseball team in January and February, getting his work in before spring training, and we'll talk more about that. But this fella made his major league debut this year, the Baltimore Orioles, living out a dream. Cody Carroll. A little T-swizzle for you.
Everybody here wanted something more.
Take a seat.
Searching for a sound we hadn't heard before. And it said, welcome to New York. It's been waiting for you. Welcome to New York.
There's a story behind that song. There's a story behind that song.
It's been waiting for you.
Here, we'll give you the orange one.
These
mics are the ones you have to kind of hold up close to your mouth to be heard. There's a story behind that song. We'll get to that. It's very, very cool. Let's see. We'll give Wade the gray one because he's old. This third guy, those of you guys that have been with us for a while, at Sycamore Church, Wade's a brother. Probably been at camp 13 or 14 years. His wife, Rose, puts up with him. And interesting stories that every time we meet him and we sit down and spend time together, last night was priceless. Went to the Foxy Loxy for coffee and dessert. And just learned something very interesting about Rowdy that you never would have known. So I think this walk-up song is appropriate. Ladies and gentlemen, Wade Rowden. Come on, man, let's see it.
That's not right.
So not right, it's left. It's awesome. Yeah, man. So get this. Rowdy's a dancer. We found that out last night. Right, yeah. He used to wear red shoes to match his red shirt. So yeah, Rowdy used to wear red shoes with his red shirt, and you met your bride, and you guys were dancing.
Yes.
Go figure.
Go figure.
You know, I tried to get her to sit on the end.
Red shoes in for topsiders, thank you very much. I'm now 58, I don't do anything or I'll get hurt.
Yeah, I pull a hammy. I tried to talk Rose into sitting at the end of the aisle and dancing with you, and she said, no way, not happening. Well, we appreciate you guys. You know, Wade coming up from DeLand, Florida, and, you know, been doing this for many years with us, and I get connected through you with a teammate of yours, Andy McGaffigan. I think you guys played together in Cincinnati, and McGaff's a great guy. And Andy, he's been up here once as a pitching coach years and years ago, and just a super guy, you know. Just talk about Wade. You know, what we kind of want to talk about and touched on it yesterday with you guys is just adversity. You know, adversity in life in the game. I mean, you're telling us a story last night that you're in double A, man, and you just kind of hit the wall.
Yeah, well, so in pro ball, it's a little changed now, but usually for the regular players, double A was kind of the cut point. That's when you would start seeing pitchers that kind of what we call throw backwards, you know, instead of a 2-0 fastball all the time, you'd get a curveball. And so most of the guys that didn't get through double A didn't move on. And I had come into double A. I was in Waterbury, Connecticut, which in and of itself was adversity. But but I was having one of those years where I just couldn't get it figured out. And I was either hitting a home run or striking out, and I was kind of over it. And so not proud of it, but one night I just went down to the ball field and I was in the dugout, and the Lord and I just kind of had a chat. I'm sure some of these guys have had a few of those. And to be honest with you, I'm surprised I'm here today. I don't know why, but there should have been a lightning bolt about 1 a.m. that hit that dugout. But so the game is really a very up and down thing. And it's constantly weighing on you because you're constantly being evaluated, and it's always about performance and evaluation. And so, yeah, that was one of those moments where you just kind of feel like you want to crawl under the rock and call it a year. You know?
It's a humbling game too, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very humbling.
Speaking of humble, is this you?
No, that is not me. No.
What's up with that?
So here's the really, this is how the Lord keeps you humble, right? I have two MVP trophies, both my names misspelled on both of them.
Great.
And then I have my Baltimore Oil card, and it's not even my face, it's another guy, but I still get it. So you know, in case you're wondering if you're important in the game of baseball, I'm proof, absolutely not. No, yeah.
I saw that the other day. Because
I haven't even had the heart to call him and go, hey, guys, could you help me out?
Who is it?
I have no idea. But if his career was longer than mine, I'm going to call him and ask for the pension.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, that's right.
You have this guy that I call your stalker, and he's not. He's a big baseball fan. He's a big Reds fan, and every year he sends us baseball cards, and I have some right there in that envelope that he wants you to sign.
Sure.
And he donates to the camp, you know. And he's got three of those in there. I'm looking. I'm like, this ain't him. And then I told John, I emailed this to John. I'm like, look, he's like, no, it's not, because the ears are different.
Right.
He says, Wade's earlobes go down. That guy tucks in.
I'm like,
okay, well, there you go, right. And I said, there's no way. Anyway, it's humbling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very humbling.
Yeah.
That just goes to show how much impact I had on the Orioles.
Cody, you at a high school came to a point in time where kind of like, I'm, you know, like a lot of high school kids. Ryan Rocco made an appearance yesterday. That was awesome. Drove 5 hours, speaking of college dudes. You know, his goal was to play at the next level after high school, and God granted that, you know, and he's up at Montreat in baseball boot camp working hard. Tell the story of you signed your scholarship for Southern Miss, and then what happened? Hold that puppy up there, yeah.
Okay, real quick.
There you go.
Okay, about a week after I signed to further my career at Southern Miss, I was going to a tournament this next weekend during the fall to get ready to go play in a tournament in Florida. It was like one of the biggest for high school kids to get seen by pro scouts and college scouts. So I go in, you know, just normal day, go in, throw, get ready for the game. Go in the game, throw about three pitches, and the elbow starts feeling a little, throw in the next one, walk right off the mound.
Uh-oh.
Go sit right in the dugout, and then I knew it happened right away. I ended up having surgery on my elbow, Tommy John surgery, which is your ulnar collateral ligament in your elbow, which you need to throw anything overhand, basically.
And that surgery, they take it out and bring in another one from what? From your wrist or from a dead guy or something, right?
Yeah, so I got mine from my left wrist, the little tendon that some people have and some people don't. And your wrist, you don't need it for anything. So they took it out of my left forearm, and then they put it in my right elbow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's a nightmare for a pitcher.
Right.
You know,
it's a year of nothing.
And then how was that relationship between you and God at that point in time?
Yeah, that was tough, especially at first, you know, when the high school year hadn't even started yet. It was still in the fall, so I had to sit there and you know, go through all that with being in a robotic arm sleeve for 6 months
yeah.
until, you know, you can finally start doing something. But, yeah, every you know, every day when I drive to therapy, which I had downtown Nashville, so I had 30 minutes to myself every day, you know, and you kind of just reflect on it and, you know that he has a plan for you in the long run.
Yeah. And then Southern Miss, obviously, they honored that piece of paper you signed your
correct,
name on.
Which actually worked out because we had another guy that had surgery like a month before me, so they already had one planned out, so they're like, oh, yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
So that was, because I know that happens a lot in a lot of schools. They just say, we'll go find somebody else.
Yeah. And Mike, you're not a baseball player, are you?
Golf.
Yeah, just a little. Mike's 6'7", in case you're wondering. He's got Cody beat by a couple inches. Now, you were the National Junior College Player of the Year in 1984. Okay. So tell me what happened, and you shared this just a little bit the other day. You went to go to play college basketball in North Carolina, and then you got there and kind of like the bait and switch.
Yeah, well, what happened, I was fairly good basketball player out of North Carolina. I was nominated as a couple things. I was nominated to be Mike Donald's All-American, and I went to a small 1A school, so you got to realize, very small. The area I lived in, Michael Jordan was probably 50 miles farther on the coast. I'm in the Lumberton, North Carolina area, the Robeson County area. So we never got to play one another, but all the schools in that close in that area, the bigger schools, because 1A is as small as you can get. Mm-hmm. Probably, I think we may have had 300 students total.
Yeah.
So we never could play the big 4A schools. But I was nominated to be a Mike Donald's All-American, and the coach at the time, he didn't fill out the form and send it back. So, I look at it now, you know, and we'll talk about that later. You know, God still had a plan for me. You know, sometimes it's good that you don't get in that type of limelight or atmosphere, because sometimes it takes you places where you think you enjoy, but when you get there, you realize, man, they are destructive. They'll destroy you. And a lot of good players have been destroyed because of the limelight, the fame, and the money.
Yeah.
So, and we'll talk about that later. But what happened, I ended up going to a smaller school. And then another thing, we'll go back a little bit. I had a guy that, and I had a little bit of wisdom. I had a guy wanted to manage my, because I was just that good as a junior. He wanted to manage my whole career. He promised me, I talked to my dad, he said it was up to you. He promised me, he said, listen, I'll get you in any school you want to, but all I asked for is just 3% of what you make in the pro.
So he wanted to be your agent.
Agent, and he wanted 3% for just 5 years, which was not a lot. But
right. At
that time I was young, and I'm like, you know what? What if this my talents don't surface? And I didn't want to waste the guy's money. So I was like, no, I declined on it. So I ended up going to this private Christian school up there near Charlotte called Wingate College. And I was still new, and they redshirted me. That's how I started. They redshirted me.
Yeah.
They didn't have a good team. And when I got redshirted and I was passionate, I cried because I think they lost every game but one. And I knew I could have helped them. Man, I cried.
You couldn't hurt them, right?
Yeah, I know I couldn't hurt them. But I didn't understand what his concept was, and I wanted to play then. He was trying to build for the future. So he was like, okay, I got Mike, and I just hold on to him. I won't let him play this year.
Yeah.
Just redshirt him. So I start building my team around him. You know, after this, you know, this year is over with. But I didn't understand that. I wanted to play. We lose, man. Right. I can help you, man. But so I'm in there just crying my eyes out, boo hoo, and so I made a decision. And after that year, I dropped out and I went back home. And I worked in on back then. There were a lot of textile mills in North Carolina, and so I worked in one of the textile mills for about a year. And I pretty much was thinking my career was over. And I was like, man, I'm tired of the textiles. I'm tired of working. And a friend of mine came to me and said, he's getting a program. That's how I got to Georgia. They're getting a program down there in Brunswick Junior College. And that is how I ended up down here in Brunswick. And I love the area, so I decided to stay. And I became junior college, like Georgia Junior College All-American. Me and Michael Jordan and Cheryl Miller was on the same stage at that time, and Dick Vitale was hosting it.
Cool. Yeah.
And, you know, so it was a good experience. But like I say, I let you talk to somebody else, and, you know, and I tell you more about, you know, there were some peaks and valleys during this. And,
I bet.
You know, and
I bet.
some things, like I said, I was passionate and you know, it hurt me. But like I say, the Lord had a plan. I didn't know.
Yeah. Right. Rowdy, we scoured the archives. Okay. Lights. We got lights that we can turn off somewhere. Okay. So we had to dig deep for this. Okay. So we have a forklift that we want to show.
Imagine, Joe, it has to make a dramatic difference when you know you're going to start at least a week in advance like Scott is. A little different than the Chicago game.
Well, you know, when you throw down the bullpen, you work a little differently rather than preparing to go into a ball game for an inning or so.
Oh, what?
Now here's Wade Routt.
Get out.
To take care of Daryl Strawberry.
Now look at the strut. Look at the strut. Now what? Bubble time, baby.
Play on Darryl's He's like, I got that. You see the pitches away from Daryl and ground ball and nice
bubble.
Play by Wade and going on the run and a
sinker to first, but it worked.
Tony, in the end,
Tony Perez in first base.
Well, I tell you, Wade
Look
Robin
at this guy. Look at that young buck.
Job in the games he's played
and he could dance, too.
He's made some fine defensive
No wonder Rose couldn't
And that is
no.
something coming as a shortstop or as a third so, baseman in the minor
another
leagues
one here too.
To now a shortstop in the major
so
leagues
was
to
shortstop.
Making an outstanding play against Philadelphia again last night against the Mets
this
and right here this evening against New York.
The whole game is on
YouTube. Last year at shortstop in Denver.
Yeah, I didn't either.
It's not a strange position for
and
him.
And it's in color.
The count is two balls and
here's Rowdy at the plate.
Wade Routt with two outs here in inning number six. Wade with a rip to left field.
Ripped it left field.
And Routt has his first hit of the evening.
There he is. Rick Anderson, I think, is a pitcher.
Like Anderson got a breaking ball up to Wade, and he took care of it. Well, when you get that hanger, you want to drive it somewhere, and he
you remember
hit
this
hard
game?
Between Knight and Santa.
You will in a second.
Okay.
Third clip. Rowdy on first base. Nick Kostaski,
two balls, two strikes, two outs with a man on.
Sneaky.
Rowdy was going
to
score.
Oh, yeah.
The count is three.
The bubble
to Perez.
Carry card. Balls in the dirt.
Here's another look at Wade.
He takes a peek here. Look at that.
Jump. He takes a look at plate, and now the headlong slide, and just
nice.
In and under the tag by Santana.
Yeah. Very athletic.
He is definitely there, and Santana tags him on the
dirty.
Right
Bubble's
shoulder.
Coming.
Oh, Gary
Carter. That. No, it isn't. There's one more. There's one more, and this is the gem. All right, we're going to set this one up a little bit.
What do I do? Throw it away?
No.
Okay.
The Mets were notorious that year. They were they had a ball club. They had a really good team, good staff. You were 5-for-5 one, I think, that same year against Dwight Gooden and the Mets in New York, I think.
Right.
Yeah, it gave me your life. That was, right? Memories.
Yeah.
So that Mets team, they were scrappers. They would fight each other. They got in a fight in Houston. Tim Tuffle and Lenny Dykstra. You had Ray Knight on that team. You had all you had guys that just wanted to go. But the Reds had guys like Rob Dibble. Was Dibble on that team?
Dibble was on that team.
Ted Power.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Dave Parker.
Yeah, we had some goofy guys.
Pete Rose was player manager.
Yes, he
okay.
was. Okay. Yes, he was.
So, this, John, just play it. Now watch the pointer.
Okay. Now, Milner
Jesse Orozco
does not
on the mound.
Times get a chance to hit off of left-handed pitching. As a result,
Eric Davis is on second base.
Well. That's not a knock on Eddie. It's simply a matter.
He got some wheels. This is after Rose had a base hit. You're on deck, so you're about 50 feet away from the plate,
like
maybe 150 feet from third base.
A hit now would certainly get Davis in.
Davis gets the okay. Ooh, there's Deuce there. We're just setting the stage.
Well, he was bailing on that pitch.
Setting the stage.
And Davis set strike two.
0-2.
The pitch was snapping itself into the
you
strike.
Nervous?
And looked like Eddie thinks he's going to be inside. Uh-uh.
You're on deck.
2-2.
He's had a chance to win it. The bottom of the ninth inning. Couldn't get the base hit. That's had a chance to go out in front. The top of this 10th
Venable?
Inning.
Accidental.
Couldn't do it.
All right, so here we go. 0-2 pitch.
And now would win it for the home team.
Howard Johnson, short. There he goes. Now watch.
The throw, he's
safe. Okay, hey.
Now look at
Boom!
Davis
Boom shakalaka, here we go. The pointer's gonna come in here. Now, yeah, where is he? Where is 17? Exactly, where is it? There's Pete Rose, John Franco, Tony Perez, John Denny. Okay, this thing's, oh, there he is. He's like, what's happening? What? Oh, wait, hey. Wait a second, I'll just hold on to you. Wait, what's happening?
And Bruce Kim is right there to try and stop Eric Davis.
Wait for it. Whoa, okay, it's breaking out again. Fists are flying, they're kicking each other. Where's Wade? Look at this. This is big time. Here comes Dykstra. Tommy Helms get thrown to the ground. John Franco wants a piece of somebody, anybody.
Boy, he is really.
Here's Wade. These guys are wrestling. Here's Milner with Ted Price. Oh, there it is. Hey, hey, Gary.
Ray Knight and Eric Davis.
And my nose itches.
What's happening? Look at there the area around third base. And
this thing
like
went on for 5 minutes,
Dave. Like they dropped their gloves. Everybody dropped their hats and their gloves and just went at it. And
Wade's like over here somewhere.
Like we're on the ice. And look, you got a quick shot of Eric Davis and Tommy Helms. And Tommy, a pretty good battler. And Davis completely removed from the
you
scene
remember
of the
this
action.
Guy? Remember the game?
What did you see Eddie Milner get in there right now? He's protecting his.
He's like, I'm saying, hey, are you doing okay?
A lot of people will talk about.
You doing all right? Hey, come on, let's go. And they're still going at it.
Well, you
this
saw
thing
the
is
kind
still
of
going.
Friends
all right,
they were
stop.
When
Kevin
Davis
Mitchell,
got into it. Eddie Milner
again,
was right there to bail him out. There's another guy who got into the middle of it, and Kevin Mitchell.
Pitchers.
And Ray Knight is still being retrieved by Ted Tower. There's Davey Johnson pushing Ray away and trying to calm him down. And look at Kevin Mitchell.
Now we come in to face you after all this stuff is happening. And then Roscoe facing next guy. So they had two pitchers hitting this thing. So, anyway, talk about adversity. Dave Parker won't give up this run for 5 minutes.
Right now, look at Tommy Helms. Ray Knight, rather Dave Parker, might be a little bit upset over Kevin Mitchell's demeanor.
Tommy Helms is earning his money tonight. He's just,
I mean, adversity,
he
but you're right.
Eric Davis to keep
okay,
him out
you
of
want
there.
To stand up for your teammate, but if you get hurt, man, that's it could be career ending.
Oh, listen, those guys, if you're a pitcher and you're in that pile, they're grabbing your arm trying to jerk it out of the socket. Those guys don't, there's no, it's not a game. People think it's a game. Just like when they throw at you, it's not a game. 95 at your head is enough to make you a little nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we talk about adversity, and I was talking with my wife before I came in, and you know, the first thing I think is, as Christians, we need to understand there's different kinds of adversity. And I was reading this morning because I was thinking about the word, and several times in the scripture, especially in Psalm 119, David said that he was quickened by the word of the Lord in the middle of his affliction. And I just want to say today that if your motive in life is other than glorifying Christ, or if your motive is to be famous, or your motive is to be successful, or your motive is to be this, I believe personally you'll probably fail sometimes in your endeavor. The only thing that ever gets anybody, in my opinion, through a difficult time in their life is twofold. One, that you absolutely know in your heart that you have a hope and a calling in Christ Jesus, and that your future is settled. And number two, that God's word is faithful and can be trusted no matter what. Those two things are all that we really have as believers to anchor our lives, amen, to get us through a difficult time, no matter what that may be. And I was sharing with Rose, I think my problem sometimes is I get a little too earthly minded instead of spiritually minded, and realizing that God's doing this in my life for spiritual benefit, may have nothing to do with benefit here. And sometimes, you know, we get that thing confused.
That's hard to recognize. Right?
Yeah, because a lot of our times. Goal is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And so that's really what it's all about, is God using that in our life to make us more like our Savior.
Yeah.
And whether we're successful or not, I think, is where we get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because I'm not successful doesn't mean that the affliction wasn't fair or good for me. And
yeah.
I think sometimes that's where, you know, we can be, we need to be careful as believers, you know.
Cody, your walk-up song here is by T. Swizzle, Taylor Swift. Welcome to New York. It's a cool story behind that, and I'll tell a little bit of it, and I'm going to leave it up to you. Cody was drafted by the Yankees out of college. Bless you. Signed with them, and when he and Amber got together, you met re-met again. You guys went to high school together, and then you were playing in Charleston. She moved to Charleston. Hey, there's a guy, Cody Carey. He's kind of cute. Let me go see what he's doing. Rest is history. And you're still cute.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Look good in orange, too, right?
I hope so.
Had to change the wardrobe, yeah. But this Welcome to New York song, you guys had said, okay, obviously your goal was to make it to New York to play for the Yankees. I mean, forget about Trenton and all that stuff. You wanted the NY on your chest and the pinstripes and everything. So you had told her, hey, when I get the call, this is going to happen.
Right. So we're in my truck one day. I don't remember where we're going. We're going somewhere. Anyway, she plugs her phone in to charge it. And apparently the only album she has on her phone from who knows when is an old Taylor Swift album. So whenever she plugged her phone into the truck.
We're not going to hold that against you, okay? All right.
Whenever she plugged her phone into the truck, it immediately connected her phone to the GPS, Bluetooth, whatever. Yeah. So, and that song pops up, and I'm like, what is this? Well, it's kind of catchy. You know, I don't like it. So then.
What do you roll to? Hank Williams, or what's your jam?
You know, a little bit of everything.
All right. It's not Taylor Swift.
No.
Okay.
Except for that one. That one's okay.
Amen, brother. Amen.
That one's okay. So we're driving. I'm like, I kind of like this. And I was like, you know, it kind of fits. You know, Welcome to New York. It makes sense.
Right.
So I said, all right, if and whenever I get called up, I'm just going to text you a picture of the song, and that's how you're going to know.
Yeah. Very cool.
So whenever I got traded, I was like, oh, well, I guess we're going to have to find something new.
Okay, so we'll back up here. He was in the Yankees system, like their 25th ranked prospect or something like that. Gets traded to the Baltimore Orioles at the end of July on Amberlynn's birthday. Okay? And traded for Zach Britton, a left-handed relief pitcher from Baltimore. And lefties in the game, you know, relief pitchers are valuable. And there have been word, you know, Britton's going to go. And so you're in AAA and there's a rain delay.
Right. So I'm in AAA. We're in the middle of a rain delay. Where me and another one of my teammates that never sits beside me. He's the locker beside me. His locker's on the complete opposite side. So we're just sitting there talking. You know, he's scrolling through Twitter, and they say the Yankees have a deal in place for Zach Britton. So we're sitting there, and we're like, oh, I wonder who's going to get traded. So he keeps scrolling. Dylan Tate's name pops up, and then it says two more, but they haven't been named, and then his name pops up. So he takes his agent. He says, yeah, it's Tate, you, and Carroll. And I'm sitting beside him. I'm like,
that's good to know.
All right, well, I had no idea. Call him agent. He says, yeah, give me a minute. And he's like, well, we got a lot going on right now. Anyway, so I found out I got traded on Twitter for anybody that thinks that we know everything. We know nothing. So whenever I got traded, me and Amber were like, well, I guess we're going to have to pick a new song to send you. But so
You said that. We'll have to pick a new song.
Right.
Right.
So we end up going to Norfolk, Virginia, where the Baltimore's AAA is. And get there, and we're there. We drive together. She was supposed to come home like the day before. Yeah. She ended up staying, so we went together. And then we got her home. And I'm there for...
She disagreed, though. She's like, no, I think we need to hold on to the song for a second because God's doing something, right?
Right. So we knew that we played in New York in... Or the Orioles played in New York in like 4 days after I got traded. So we're just sitting there. We get her home because she has to work. And I'm there by myself for like, I think a day and a half. And I'm getting called up. And first, we end up going to New York. So I walk in.
Yeah.
First thing I do is text her that picture. And she says she didn't believe me. She just looked at it. I'm like, oh, that's funny. Kind of put it away for a second and then thought about it.
Yeah.
And then that's how I ended up telling her that I got called up.
Very cool. And what's really neat about it is that, and just show you how God works, right? Like, That's your dream. I mean, you need to set that lofty goal or why you're doing what you're doing.
Right.
Right. So the goal is to make it to the big leagues. And what's great is you signed your contract in Yankee Stadium, made your debut against the Yankees.
Correct.
2 days later. Correct. Very cool. Mike, were you always the best guy out there, the best talent, especially on the college level, or did you have to work at it a little bit?
I have always been the best player and best talent, but I had to work at it. That's why I look at my Christian life now, and sometimes I'm ashamed because I had such a passion, just like Wade and Cody, I had such a passion trying to make it in the big league. So I did whatever I had to do. I mean, I may have spent 8 hours in training and in the gym, I mean, constantly. That's why I say I look back at that. Sometimes I get ashamed of my Christian life because, you know, you think about if you had that same passion for Christ, you know, could you imagine what you could do? But I was lost. I wasn't born again. So, yeah, I had that same passion. And what happened, and we'll go on, is when I went to Wingate College, and then I junior college player of the year. So I had all the four-year colleges, the Division I's. That's what you want. That's where you get the recognition. Mm-hmm. So all the Division I colleges were wanting me. But what happened, I didn't know, and then I was sad that what I did when I graduated from high school by going to Wingate College, even though I didn't play, they got a rule. You get 5 years to play 4 years of Division I ball, and it starts as soon as you enter college. That's any college. So by me going there, I didn't play. That was 1 year. I sought out a year. That's 2 years. Junior college, 2 years. I only had 1 year left to play the Division I ball. And when they found out that, they did not want to invest in a talent for just 1 year. And at that time, with my stats, I think I averaged about 28 points a game, 17 rebounds, and I was shooting about 70% from the floor. So I trained like that. I virtually was unstoppable, and I was, they call, a workhorse. So I did it both ways. Mm-hmm. So when I found out that, I was crushed.
I bet. Yeah.
I really was, and you read it. I wanted to quit. Yeah. I was like, man, because my only option was this year. Go to NAIA or Division II or something like that. That was a little less where the rules wasn't the same. But then I had the attitude, those going to be the same guys I met in junior college. You know, and I need the challenge. So coach convinced me to just stay with it. So I enrolled at my senior college. It was at Georgia Southwestern and America's Georgia, the Southwest Georgia. So I went there. And like I said, my heart wasn't in it, but I was still good enough to where that, like, man, this is not where I want to be at. But like I say, as we go, the Lord had a plan for me. And from there, after I graduated, I left Georgia Southwestern. There was a couple of trials I had. And the first trial I remember that was going overseas, it was going to be a team that toured. First trial I remember, it was 300 guys.
Wow.
It was a 3-day trial. And I'm like, man.
For 12 spots.
For 12 spots. I'm like, God. And it's money. So everybody's like, how are they going to decide? So I went in there, and I, believe it or not, I ended up getting one of the 12 spots and ended up being the best player, you know. So that's how I got my little start in playing any kind of pro ball. But it was always to get to the big leagues. But as I look at it now, thank God that I didn't get there and make the big money, because I know what I did with the little money. You know, I tell everybody I wasn't a millionaire, but I was a 100,000-aire.
Right.
So right about now, let's see, I work 40 hours plus a day and I don't make 100,000. And I got a small business, so that's good money now, you know. But I was young and I was foolish, so I realized then, and I can say we can go further with it, but I realize now that, man, I'm glad I didn't. Oh, I would have loved to then.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, man, I would have got caught up, Jason. I would have got really caught up because my passion was for the world at the time. So that was what my interest is going to be, anything with the world. And like I said, I keep it short. The money I did make, and I was into the entertainment, I ended up investing in a club and got caught up in, see, that's the kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So if I did that with a little bit of money, imagine what I would have did with a lot of money. It'd have been sad. So I thank the Lord, and as I say, as we go on, he knew how I was because I was passionate. So he allowed it. Okay, I'm going to let you see if these things are going to satisfy you. And I was telling Tommy back there, every time I accomplished any of my goals, I was always looking to say, well, oh, man, I have arrived, and I'm looking for the lights to go off. But it was always an empty feeling. And I'm like, man, is this is all it's about? But I, you know, I shake it off and like, okay, go on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And it was always, I realized it was always the process, but then when I end up at the goal, the finish line, I felt empty. And so that's why I say, you know, I didn't know then the Lord was just, he was working in my life. Yeah. He was allowing certain things to get a taste. You think these things are going to satisfy you, you think they're going to give you peace and joy, but you're going to find out.
I know better.
No better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll wrap up. There's some verses that we're going to touch on here when we're done that I think, I know they spoke to you. If not then, they do now. Cody, this year, obviously your goal is to make the club out of spring training. Spend a lot of time in Baltimore. It's going to be your favorite city.
Yeah, that's the plan so far.
What'd you learn in 45 seconds or less with your 6 weeks up on the show this year?
It's different. It's a lot different. You know, they say going from AAA to big leagues is more than one level jump, which, you know, I think it is. It's two or three levels. It's not AA, AAA, which, you know, not that big of a difference, but AAA, big leagues, a lot different.
Yeah. You got guys that are looking for something, and they'll hit a mistake in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, every mistake is hit hard and hit somewhere you don't want it to be.
Yeah, yeah. Wade, any advice for Cody as he's embarking on? You know, that was your dream too. You know, and you were fortunate enough. God bless you to be up there and get a taste of that. You know, as he's just one cup of coffee right now.
Yeah. Yes. My advice would be, you know, I was thinking tonight, we were talking about adversity, and I was thinking about the verse in Hebrews chapter 12 where it says that our Savior, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to think about him enduring things because we were on his heart. And I think where we all sometimes miss it is we keep thinking, well, as our brother so eloquently stated, if I get there, I've attained. And we forget that we need to do things in life for the joy.
Hmm.
And that's my encouragement to everybody here is, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs, if we fail in the day of adversity, our strength is small. And listen, if you're here today and you're saved and you know Jesus as your Savior, you have one goal, and that's to glorify Him. What you do is irrelevant. Seriously. And so my encouragement to him would be enjoy it. Play for the Lord and have a good time and don't get caught up in a 5-year contract or a 10-year contract or I'm the best this or the best that. I tell my son every day, and I'll tell everybody here, we need to worry about what goes on between the white lines today, and tomorrow will take care of itself. Mm. And I think sometimes we get our sights set out ahead too far. And that's my encouragement. You know, I didn't enjoy it enough, you know?
Yeah.
I just wish I'd have enjoyed it more. Of course, you know, I had a few battles when I was there, but that's just my encouragement to everybody is we need to find more joy in our life. If Christ is really the center, you know, a new paycheck, more money, this or that, it really isn't going to solve the problem. We just need to find our joy in our Savior and realize what a blessing it is that we have eternal life and our future settled.
Yeah.
And that's my only advice. So,
guys, thank you for your time.
Yeah,
really appreciate it. Words of wisdom, you know, from been there, done that, doing it. And been there, done that as well. Different sport, but same messages and same God coming at you. So we appreciate you guys. You guys go take a seat. The pointer's stuck on my finger, so I guess I'll just hold on to it for a while. Maybe I'll bring that later. Hey, there's Wade. There he is. The fight's over here, and he's over here. I just want to share a little something with you. And Wade, you know, you said that God, you know, Jesus endured that cross, knowing that, you know, if for us, knowing what we would do and think and all that stuff, and for everybody in here. And I remember probably the last couple of years of being the chaplain guy for the Sand Nats, that God just put on my heart to tell these guys to play for an audience of one. And I'd share that with my high school guys too, because, you know, you're never going to please the organization. You're never going to please the coach, the pitching coach, you name it. Just go on down the line. It ain't never going to happen. But you can please him with everything that you do. So play for an audience of one. Gary, I know you play for an audience of one. It's a different play, right? You playing a game, playing an instrument, whatever it is. But just want to share with you some verses that I think a couple of them kind of tie into what Dane's been talking about these last few weeks, and just about the mental aspect of life and winning that battle. So in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 and 9, it says that we now have this light shining in our hearts. The light he's talking about is Jesus. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars, in the truth, containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. That's a powerful, powerful couple of verses there. You know, we are. I mean, some days I know I feel I'm being crushed by on every side of just stuff in the world, you know, but because he's at my side, he's beside me, he's all around me. All I got to do if I think he ain't there, I just got to turn around and boom, he's right there. You know, that picture of Jesus I have on that cross is, you know, he's here like this. And if you don't know Jesus and you haven't asked him into your life yet, all you got to do is turn around and he's like this, waiting to give you a hug like I was waiting to give Ryan a hug yesterday when he showed up, you know, just arms wide open. And I picture him in my mind looking down going, dude, I'm right here. Come on. Come on. You know, trust me. I got you. Other verse that I thought was kind of in the same mindset here is in 1 Peter. It says, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. It doesn't say he might. It doesn't say he's going to think about it. He's going to restore you. He's going to support you. He's going to strengthen you because of what you went through. Big Mike, I know you're stronger because of what you went through. Where'd you go? Okay, I can't believe I couldn't see you. Wow. You're shorter when you sit down. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's there. And yeah, it's just because you say you're a Christian or you know Jesus and you follow him, it doesn't mean stuff ain't going to happen. It's still going to happen to you. But when it does, just lean in. You know, we're telling the kids yesterday that Jesus is the rock. You know, there's that song that we sing sometimes too. But, you know, he's going to restore you, support you, and strengthen you. And, Mike, I know you felt crushed. I mean, you know, you had all those years to play ball, and then boom, 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 gone. You know, you played a little bit in Europe. You traveled the U.S. with a European team, which is ironic in and of itself. But, you know, you can look back today, and you're stronger. He supported you. That prevenient grace that you didn't know was happening, now you look back, it happened. All right, next one, John. James 1, 2, and 4. Talks about faith and endurance. You know, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. And that's tough. Hey, yippee, we're having some struggles. For you know that when your faith is tested, not if, maybe, kind of, when, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And Mike, endurance is what you're about too, man. You know, it's training up those athletes and everything else. Joshua 1:9, that's a cool verse. He's talking to his troops. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's hard, right? Like Dane's been talking about that. If you have that negative mindset and the grooves in your brain actually get carved out and stuff, but you can change that. You can change the paths of those grooves. That would have been fun. But just be courageous. And then this one here, with your mind, stay alert. Pay attention. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Right? Your family of believers. I think that's just so cool about us as the Sycamore Church. You know, the church isn't this thing. This is the building. It's us, though. The people are the church. And for Terry and I, not having any physical blood family here, they're hundreds, literally hundreds of miles away, and they have been for the last 20 years. Hundreds of miles away. But you guys are our family. You know, Wade's the extended grandfather of Lexi. Didn't know that until yesterday. But she remembers Wade giving her a hard time wearing her pink batting helmet when she was 8, 9 years old. Right? Remember, she's a lefty, Wade. Remember that? She could hit, too. She still can, right? But that family of believers, you know, we're not alone. We're not going through this alone. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing, and it's perfect. His will for all of us is perfect. And there's one more. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. But I think this is the part I think is cool. And thank Him for all He has done. That's going to change your mindset. If you remember what He's done for you in the past, He's not just going to leave you. He's not going to just say, oh, well, whatever. You know, Audrey, I've been there for you before. No, I'm not. You know, He loves you. He loves us so much. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And the last thing I just wanted to read here is, this is a book from that Tim Tebow wrote, and he wrote it, it says, Know Who You Are, Live Like It Matters, A Homeschooler's Interactive Guide to Discovering Your True Identity. He wrote this when Dusty and I and my dad and Ryan, we went to Columbia. The manager up there asked me to speak to the team, and it had been a couple of years after they had moved. And the manager asked me to do that in spring training. I'm like, man, I'd love to. I miss you guys, you know. So going up there, I was nervous, you know, because it had been a while. I hadn't been in the clubhouse for a while, and I didn't know very many of the guys. I think there was one or two guys that were still with Columbia that played in Savannah that year. Everybody else was a stranger to me. The coaching staff I knew. Mookie Wilson was there. Mookie was in that game, Wade, in 86. But Mookie was there. He lives in Columbia. He's a roving instructor. But anyway, had an opportunity to go in there, and I told the guys, I'm like, look, guys, I'm nervous. I don't know where any of you guys sit with Jesus. And Tebow's sitting like right there. I said, I got an idea that he's okay. And he winked at me. I winked at him. And anyway, like a week later, this book came out. So I got a copy as quickly as I could, because I think this was like mid-May. And Tebow was doing okay. He's hitting about 235, 238 that year. But you could sense, and just kind of what I knew about the organization, that he was going to get called up to St. Lucie because he was already 30 years old. His clock is ticking, and they had an investment in him, yada, yada, yada. So sure enough, so I got the book. I called the manager, reached out to him. I said, could you do me a favor? If I mail this up there to you, could you ask him to sign it for Ryan and then mail it back? He's like, yeah, man, absolutely. But get it to me. Hurry, because in a week and a half, he's going to St. Lucie. I'm like, well, I had a feeling. So he actually did it. And I'm going to read you what he wrote on the inside. And I want you to put your name before what I read. And then, Dusty, I'm wrapping up after this. So it says, to Ryan, God has an awesome plan for your life. Okay, so when I say to, in your mind, you say your name or you say it out loud, whatever you want to do. To, God has an awesome plan for your life. Keep trusting Him and walking by faith. It's not easy, but it's worth it. God wrote a masterpiece about your life before you were ever born. That's how much you matter to Him. You can walk with confidence knowing that the God of the universe is with you always and will never, ever leave you. You are loved. Pretty cool. I thought those are great words from a fella who's, you talk about feeling like a jar of clay. You know, he's been pushed and pressed from every side by the media and everybody else because he takes a knee or whatever he does, you know. But he's doing it for the glory of God. He's playing for that audience of one. So, Gary, you want to come up and do your thing? And we'll let our master pastor. This is Dusty Reynolds. I know we have visitors. I don't usually do this. I'm the baseball guy. This is our master pastor, Dusty Reynolds.
Let's give this three guys a big thank you all for being here today and sharing your story. More than that, thanks for being out there these last 2 days with kids, because that's what makes a difference. And for you who are visiting from baseball camp, you have your children there. We're so glad you brought your children there. This was something God put in Jason's heart years ago, and it's been a gift to the community.